Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Okay, welcome to the NFL Draft Bible Draft Digest Weekly. Little technical difficulty, folks. So we're off to a slow start, but that's okay. We're going to pick things up right away. In a second, we're going to talk to Greg Moore, the head trainer from St. Vincent's, and we're going to talk to him about today's pro day workout over there in Indianapolis. The combine is underway. Draft C5. Also, we'll have Bo Marchant and Joe Everett on location from Indianapolis. I'll be joining them later today. We've got a lot of things going on here at the NFL Draft Bible, so strap your seatbelt on, relax, kick up your feet. We're going to go on a little bit of a roller coaster ride around the NFL Draft process. And as I mentioned, we have a guest joining us today, Greg Moore from St. Vincent's. Training, the head trainer there. I hear from my understanding, Greg, that you guys had a workout today.
Yeah, we did, Lloyd. Thanks for having me on. We had two small school guys here, first ever pro day to kick off the 2011 season here in Indianapolis. A kid out of University of Indianapolis, a safety named by Craig Ray, and then Alex Coors out of DePaul University here in Greencastle, Indiana, and wide receiver. Both kicked off I guess you could say the combine week and the pro day season.
Okay. My understanding, too, is that Darren Evans also working out with you guys?
Yeah, Darren Evans has been with us since he got done with his last bowl game, the bowl game that they played in. He came in 2 days after that and has been with us for about the last 7 weeks, and he just reported to the combine today at noon.
Okay, so he'll be working out at the combine. And, you know, I love the concept that you guys are doing this. As you mentioned, this is the first year that this is transpiring and taking place, and I think we're going to see more of it. So, you know, maybe we'll call you the trendsetters since you're out in front and doing it first. When originally did you guys get this idea? And I'm just curious, how long of a process was it, you know, because I know sometimes it could take years to actually – you know, figure out all the ramifications and radius and all that stuff. So, I mean, how much of a process was this putting it together, and how long of ago did you guys actually come up with the idea?
Yeah, well, it's actually a lot simpler than it sounds. We're just fortunate that location, we live in Indianapolis, where the combine's located at, and the two kids that ran today, for the scouts that came out and watched him run, actually went to high school in the Indianapolis area, which is an NFL rule. It has to fall within a certain number of miles or radius of where they went to high school unless they're going to the combine or doing their pro day at their school. So that's why it worked, and it worked very well. And we had a good number of teams come out and check out these two All-Americans, from one from Division III DePaul, one from Division II. University of Indianapolis, and Craig Ray.
All right, we're talking to Greg Moore, the head trainer here at St. Vincent Sports Performance. They had their first pro day workout of the draft season today. Some interesting prospects, as you mentioned, from the Indianapolis area. Alex Coors from DePaul University, Craig Ray from the University of Indianapolis, and Will Patterson from Indiana University. Since you've been working out with these guys, Greg, let's spend a quick minute or two on each of them. Let's go right down the line. If you can just tell us about their performance since they got there, how much they've improved, and talk a little bit about what you're taking them through and what you're working on. Let's start off with Alex Coors and DePaul University.
Yeah, well, Alex Coors came into us the same deal. He started January 5th with us, and he's been with us for the last 7 weeks or so, and he came in, and he came in pretty light as far as body weight goes, and he today he weighed in 20 pounds heavier than he did when he reported. So, you know, we do a nice job here with Lindsay Langford, our registered dietitian, does a great job on the nutritional aspect and the body composition, working with a chef that we hire through our hotel services, and they put the nutritional piece together, and we put the weight training program and the train plan behind that. So not only has he put 20 pounds on his frame, it's also paid off on the field. you know, he dropped about 0.3 in his 40 time from day one to today, and put up 7 more reps on the 225 bench press, and ran did a nice job in his shuttle runs today as well.
All right, so now you said, you know, putting on 20 pounds, that's a lot of weight to just throw on. You know, talk to me about, you know, first off, how does he maintain his flexibility by, you know, putting on a weight? And then also, you know, give me a sample. I mean, how does someone go about putting on that kind of weight with their diet but staying fit? I mean, is it a lot of potatoes and milk, or what's going on with that?
Well, you're not asking the expert. That would be Lindsay. But it is calories in versus calories out, and she works a detailed plan for each individual guy when they come in, whether it's weight gain or weight loss. And in his case, it was weight gain, and we needed to pack on some lean muscle mass on him, which we did a nice job. And we're talking about a guy that's 4% body fat in the bod pod, which is the gold standard that they use at the combine. So that's what Alex is looking at. You know, he's a 20 pounds heavier, but a lean 20 pounds at 4%. So, you know, it's calories in versus calories out. And you asked about, you know, maintain flexibility, mobility, and that sort of thing. And that's at the forefront of our foundation here at St. Vincent Sports Performance, is really, you know, the four whys to winning, that being stability, pliability, flexibility, mobility of the body. You know, we want to train through full range of motion and make sure we're not limiting their ability to move on the football field.
All right. Well, we're learning a lot here with Greg Moore, the head trainer at St. Vincent Sports Performance. They held the first pro day workout of the draft season there in Indianapolis and had a couple of local area prospects working out today. I think this is something we're going to see more of, more kind of regional programs or combine-type workouts for players that did not get invited to the NFL Scouting Combine. Let's go over to Craig Ray there, the local hometown hero, so to speak, University of Indianapolis. Craig Ray, give us the skinny on him, Greg.
Yes, Craig Ray, local boy from Plainfield High School here in the Indianapolis area, and went to the University of Indianapolis on a scholarship there, Division II, All-American. Started off as a running back there early in his career, and switched to the defensive side of the ball, and is now a safety, weighing in at, you know, 217 pounds today. Walked in our door just a little bit over 200. So same deal, we had to put a little weight on him to get him up to the number scouts would like to see him at weight-wise. And he just had a phenomenal day today, throwing up 22 reps on the bench press, a vertical jump of 36 inches. He went 10.2.5, I believe, in the broad jump. And they had a range of 40 on him. His 40 time, anywhere from 4.47 to 4.51 is kind of what we heard in earshot of the scouts. And so he had a great day. Shuttle runs were awesome as well. And, you know, he definitely helped his chances being able to be put in front of those number of scouts coming from a small Division II school where he was an All-American there and you know, conference player of the year on the defensive side of the ball. So very excited for both Craig and Alex today.
Yeah, sounds like a very, very impressive showing today by Craig Ray, University of Indianapolis. And, you know, Greg, I know a lot of NFL types are in town for the NFL Scouting Combine. If you had to guesstimate, you know, how many different teams do you think were there today at today's workout represented?
Yeah, we had probably 8 or 9 teams, it looked like, after we kind of collectively went through the list of scouts that we were able to talk to in and around the pro day. So we had about 8 or 9 teams come out, and I think that's a nice showing for these, you know, two guys that ran, being from a Division II school and Division III. It says a little bit about their careers at the level that they played at, both being All-Americans at, you know, the Division III and Division II level.
Absolutely. That's a great opportunity that the St. Vincent Sports Performance staff has created for them guys. That's a third of the league that just got a chance, you know, to showcase their skills in front of. On Alex Kors and Craig Ray, before I let you go, Greg, just want to touch base on Will Patterson from Indiana University, another guy kind of flying under the radar leading up to the draft that had a chance to showcase his skills today.
Yeah, Will wasn't able to make it. He's under the weather. You know, caught a little bit of the flu bug, I think, and so he wasn't there. Will actually is a guy that came out last year from Indiana University as a linebacker, went through our program, and basically did the same thing that we did this year for him. We put a pro day on for him, same location, and he was signed with the Houston Texans last year until injury kind of got him and got released. So he's an unsigned free agent out there looking to, you know, knock on some teams' doors here, but just was under the weather and didn't want to come and, you know, put up a bad showing being under the weather, so we didn't have him. So, you know, all in all, the two guys that were able to perform did well, and, you know, we're looking forward to Darren Evans' run Sunday at the Combine. Hello, Lloyd? Hello? I think I lost you.
Okay, and that was Greg Moore from St. Vincent's Sports Performance, and they've been doing the NFL pre-combine job over there for any, you know, NFL aspiring prospects, whether it be this year or next year or in the future years ahead. Any agents or college players listening to this now, you can check out the St. Vincent Sports Performance facility on their website. And, you know, it's an eight-week program that's focused on getting these guys into tip-top shape. As we mentioned, Darren Evans, underclassman junior from Virginia Tech, also working out at St. Vincent Sports Performance. And we want to thank Greg Moore, the head trainer over there, so much for joining us today, giving us some insight as to what these prospects go through. And we're going to be going around the Indianapolis Triangle and talking to some of our guests today down there in Indianapolis, Beau Marchant, who is on location, as well as Joe Everett. Also want to remind everybody that the NFLDraftBible.com is where it's at right now for your latest NFL draft news and information. We have about over 200 player interviews, I would say, with prospects on the NFL draft. You can kind of get to know these guys a little bit outside of the playing field. And, you know, we lighten things up a little bit. You know, we ask funny questions, and it's, you know, we talk some X's and O's with them, but we also get to know them as we follow their path to the draft. And that reminds me, you know, you can go to NFLDraftBible.com and also read up on some of our draft journals with some of the NFL draft prospects that are training for the Combine that will be there in Indianapolis this week, and all, as they lead up to their NFL Pro Day workout. So we'll be keeping tabs on all these guys over at NFLDraftBible.com. We'll also be sending out our latest big board rankings, pre-combine big board rankings that, you know, eventually will make it up to our website. Those will be issued to our subscribers for email, and then we'll work on getting those out to the world so you can see where all your favorite top prospects rank from around the nation. And all eyes on Cam Newton in Indianapolis. He's going to be participating in all the drills. A lot of people anticipating that workout. And it'll be interesting to see what transpires there, because this kid, the sky is the limit. And if the Carolina Panthers do not have interest in selecting him and making him the first overall pick in the draft, then I think somebody else will. And I think somebody else will trade up in order to do that. So interesting to see how that unfolds. Major storyline over there in Indianapolis. And, you know, again, we were joined by Greg Moore, the head trainer from St. Vincent's. Had the first pro day workout of the season, as you heard here first. Some got under the radar. And shortly here, we're going to have Bo on location, the NFL Draft Bible Ninja, to tell us what's going on from down on site. Also, want to let everybody know that we will be doing on-the-clock segments. And, you know, basically on the clock, we have, I believe we have our next guest. My producer is in my ear telling me that we have Joe Everett on the line. Joe, are you there? Okay, maybe we do not have Joe ever, but Joe will be coming in from Indianapolis with the latest and the greatest, as well as Bo. And, you know, what I was going to tell you is our on-the-clock segments, really, truly some must-listen radio, especially for those of you who are looking to get the inside scoop on your favorite team. We're basically breaking it down team by team, pick by pick, and giving you the skinny, the lowdown, two needs, you know, rookie reviews from last year, booms and busts, what their draft philosophy is, what direction they could possibly go in the draft. And, you know, we've gotten through the first few teams. Carolina obviously started us off with the first on-the-clock segment, and then we went into the Denver Broncos, where, you know, a little bit of news there. They could be looking at D'Angelo Williams to come in and be their future running back, which, you know, he is a restricted free agent. And I would think that Carolina, who is rebuilding, would not mind tendering D'Angelo Williams and, you know, maybe getting a first-round pick in return in exchange for Denver signing him. And, you know, that would be interesting to see how that develops, but D'Angelo Williams rumored to go into the Denver Broncos. Of course, they just agreed to terms with Champ Bailey on a new four-year deal. It basically amounts to a one-year deal, $15 million guaranteed if the Broncos want to part ways with Champ Bailey after that season. But Champ took the money while he could before there's a strike. There's a little upfront money that he received, maybe sacrifice gen money for some upfront money guaranteed in case there is a lockout, and we will be covering that topic for sure. For sure. We'll be talking to a lot of agents and NFL types in Indianapolis. There's a couple of meetings going down that we'll be sure to have our finger on the pulse with, and, you know, I think what comes out of the CBA if something is agreed upon that could impact this year's draft is the rookie salary cap. Seems to be a hot topic of issue. It seems like the players have kind of agreed to put a rookie cap on some of these draft picks, and the, you know, the number one overall pick, Cam Newton, for example, where Sam Bradford might have received, I believe, $50 million guaranteed last year. Matthew Stafford, $45 million guaranteed the year before that. Jamarcus Russell, $40 million guaranteed, and so on and so forth. This year, under the new proposal, the number one overall pick would receive $9 million guaranteed. So that's a very huge, significant amount of money, which Carolina Panthers fans could look at either way. It could be a great opportunity to take a risk and get your franchise quarterback in Cam Newton, or since this team is rebuilding, you know, maybe they can make that number one pick that much more attractive. And from what I've heard, the Panthers have their eyes on Marcell Dareus, the defensive tackle. Could be interesting to see. Maybe they trade down and we see, you know, picks 3 through 8. You know, I believe every team in there, except Juwan just about needs a quarterback. So, you know, Carolina Panthers, I could see wheeling and dealing come draft weekend. I don't think that Steve Smith will be wearing a Carolina Panthers uniform when draft weekend is all said and done. I think he'll be on the move. So, you know, D'Angelo Williams, as we just mentioned, he could be out of town. You know, who knows? We'll see where it goes. Just a couple of stories. You know, another guy, speaking of wide receivers that could be on the move on draft weekend, I believe Chad Ochocinco could probably be had for about a third-round pick. And I got to believe that Hugh Jackson, his former wide receiver coach over there in Oakland, would have heavy interest in acquiring Chad Ochocinco to come in, kind of be that veteran guy. You know, Oakland has a lot of young wideouts over there, none of whom are really considered legitimate, bona fide number one wide receivers. You know, I love what Jacoby Ford brings to the table. I think an outstanding season to close out the stretch. Darius Heyward-Bey hasn't really done a whole bunch of nothing. Chaz Schoens is always injured. So, you know, Ochocinco might actually be able to come in there and, you know, lift up that offense as a whole, get Jason Campbell somebody to throw the ball to, reliable. And at this stage of his career, he just needs a fresh start. All that losing in Cincinnati bottled up, he just needs to start over and get it out of his system. So I think that's another wide receiver that could be on the move. I mentioned that we were doing the on-the-clock radio shows, but if you want to go back and listen to some of the archives, I mean, these shows are fantastic. You know, we usually have a featured beat writer. We did the Denver Broncos on the clock with Eric Decker, their wide receiver, as well as Cliff, the Denver Broncos beat writer. And yesterday, we did the Buffalo Bills on the clock, which was a great listen, and, you know, talked about a team that, you know, really debacled the number of their first round pick in the draft last year, Smith might say. You know, here's a team that had so many needs and they selected CJ Spiller. You know, I still think Spiller can be a contributor, just didn't like the use of the pick, the way they used CJ Spiller. You know, you go back before this Buddy Chan Gailey regime. Aaron Navin, another wasted first-round pick. But, you know, all this talk about the Bills selecting Cam Newton, I don't know. Buddy Nix is 75 years old. Chan Gailey, you know, he's not too young either. Ralph Wilson, you know, he's older than Dirk, to be truthful, 92, 93. No offense, Ralph. But, you know, I find it hard to believe that this organization, this franchise, would want to go in the rebuild and developmental quarterback route, especially when I like what Ryan Fitzpatrick flashed last season. I think the kid brings a lot to the table. And, you know, I think we have our next guest on the line, and that would happen to be Joe Everett, who's down, or I should say up, in his hometown, Indianapolis. Joe, is that you?
Yeah, this is me. I'm so sorry for being late that I was stuck in the middle with the interview with Lee Ziemba. And, well, the good news is we'll have that for NFLDraftBible.com. But thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Lee Ziemba from Auburn, the tackle. Rick Saratella here, Joe Everett there in Indy. I'll see you in a few hours, Joe. But Lee came into the season. Some people had him tabbed as a first, second-round grade if you look around the Blesco and the National. Had that knee injury, I believe, that kind of hurt his draft stock. You know, how far along is he in the rehab process, and how is his training going?
Says he's healthy right now, and as far as working out all the tests, I didn't get that information, but looks to be getting around well, and might give it a go on some of the other events, especially, you know, lifting weights and whatnot, but definitely feels much better.
All right, Joe, before we go into all your beautiful scouting and analysis, I just want to let all our listeners know we did just post your two-round mock draft on NFLDraftBible.com. So if anyone wants to get the latest skinny of you know, our mock drafts. Go to NFLDraftBible.com. You can catch Joe's two-round mock draft over there. He's in Indianapolis, and Talk is this is becoming a mega event. You know, it seems like we hear about it more and more every year, but I hear the media frenzy's even larger this year. Just talk a little bit about the vibe over there in Indy.
It's pretty intense. I mean, we've got not only a lot of team reporters, but college reporters. I had to wait in line behind the Auburn guy just to get a spot with Ziemba. So it's definitely fast and furious. And I just want to tell you guys, Rex Ryan did a spot, and he drew a crowd that was Tim Tebow-esque. I mean, Sexy Rexy was the show. I mean, he started off with a comedy routine of all things, had the entire crowd rolling. But outside of that, though, basically every other interview, it's been a mob just to get in a question with some of these guys.
Yeah, you know, I heard one soundbite from Sexy Rexy. He's already guaranteeing Super Bowl victory, third time's the charm possibly. But, you know, after a while, you got to think it falls on deaf ears, you know, especially in New York. I could kind of relate, you know, it's, you know, he's kind of making his own bet. If he doesn't get it done this year, people are going to get tired of that act, and all of a sudden, everybody that loves the bravado is going to say, hey, show me something. Do you agree or disagree? On the flip side, in his defense, I will say he has made New York Jet football relevant, but now, you know, we're going into the third act now. How long until this act gets old?
Well, I think he addressed it, too, at the podium as far as how many times are you going to guarantee us the victory here and you come up short. But at the same time, it's a mindset. How many times does it take the rest of his players to hear that type of talk and start believing it themselves? So I think that's a huge aspect of it. And also, the guy, you know, he starts off with the jokes, but as soon as he starts talking about his team, you can tell there's just a level of passion that develops as soon as he starts talking Jet football. And but I think that, you know, be it maybe he's serious, maybe he's not all the time, he is a very powerful speaker, and you start believing some of the things he says.
Yeah, I mean, you just say the word football, and Rex just gets all kinds of fired up, man, let me tell you. Talking to Joe Everett on location in Indianapolis, sorry, the jokes just never get old. And, Joe, you know, I know it's kind of a light day there in Indy today. Take us through a little bit of the process. What's going on? I know Tyrone Smith from USC weighed in at about 310, where most people had him in the 285, 290. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at him, but I hear he is looking Vin Diesel-ish.
He is in great shape, and what's so impressive about him is how athletic he is. The guy is just cut, and the fact that he showed in above 300 addressed one of his major questions, is he going to be able to have the bulk that it takes to block these pro pass rushers, which, hey, if you're selecting a guy in the top 10, then he needs to block on the left side. And he not only addressed some of that, but just coming in as athletic as he is, I think that's what really is going to grab a lot of scouts' eyes. And I still firmly believe this is why I put it in my mock round, like mock draft. I think that he could be the first tackle off the board this year.
You know what? I don't disagree with you, Joe. I think that after this week in Indianapolis, I think there will be a lot of believers there riding that same bandwagon. And I don't know how tight you are for time. We've got about 15 minutes left. So, are you good to go for the rest of the ride here?
Oh, sure thing.
That's a beautiful thing, because now we're going to reunite like Zelda and bring in Beau Marchant, who's also on location in Indianapolis. And pretty soon, guys, will be the four amigos. I know Ralph Mancini, the good reverend, just landed down in Indianapolis. I'll be joining you guys lately. Bo, what do you know?
I know there's some strange guy standing over in the corner, I don't know, down here at the Indianapolis scouting combine here in Lucas Oil. So, kind of a quiet day, you know, the offensive line running around and about. But, yeah, you know, things are starting to progress.
Okay, no drug deals while you're in Indy, Bo.
I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, nothing, man. Hey, listen, I know you're down in up in Indianapolis there. You're not new to this. You're true to this. You're a veteran at this thing, Bo. You've been there a couple times now. The word on the street is that Indy is even more jam-packed, more of a media frenzy than ever before. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
Yeah, you know what? I it doesn't seem like it. It seemed like last year was I had a lot more buzz. I don't know if it's just because of the linemen today. You know, they don't create the type of buzz. I think last year with Tebow, there was such a media frenzy. So seeing it firsthand, I know there's over 600 media people down here. If that's a high, I don't know, but it does seem like it's a little bit quieter than, you know, the other times I've been down here.
Okay, 600 meters, so, you know, quite a crowd. And you said you saw some offensive linemen today. We were just talking about Tyron Smith. Did you get a chance to see any other guys weigh in, or what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know what? I did overhear some people saying that Maurice Pouncey, they gave a team had them do an MRI on his other knee. So that's just a little tidbit I heard between NFL Mouse that I picked up on that I probably shouldn't have. I don't know what to make of it. But, you know, that was, you know, something to talk about, I guess, is, you know, they said that, you know, they were saying to each other that Pouncey had an MRI done on his other knee today. So something to think about as we move forward.
Yeah, very interesting because he's right now on that borderline fringe of, you know, back end of the first round, early second round. If there is something there, that could definitely hinder his draft stock. Talking to Joe Everett, Bo Marchant in Indianapolis. I am your host, Rick Saratella, on this Draft Digest Weekly. Got about 10, 15 minutes left in the show. And want to open it up to you guys to just see, you know, who are some of the guys. Since you guys have interviewed so many players on the Player Spotlight show, and you can definitely check out the archives on the All Access Football profile here on Blog Talk Radio. Let me toss it over to you first, Joe. Who are some of your personal favorites that you're following at the Combine, as well as some guys that maybe are flying under the radar but will earn themselves some cash this week?
Well, I think it's got to be Julius Thomas. I just got to sit down with the Portland State tight end not more than an hour ago. Really great kid, bright fella, and he actually reminds people of how little football he has played. And I think that's a guy that, as this whole process continues, is just going to get better, and his name's going to get spread out there even more. That I think the, you know, sky's the limit, especially for the athletic ability has and the untapped potential. He's definitely a favorite. And then I also have to add Kyle Adams, the Purdue Boilermaker tight end, who I got a chance to talk to at the Shrine game. Great kid and great game. Size is there. The hands are there. I'm very excited to him for what he could do in not a strong tight end class.
Yeah, you know, that tight end class is up for grabs. There's a lot of people vying, you know. I think Kyle Rudolph is the consensus number one guy, and then I think after that, you know, it's up for grabs. And I think what transpires this week in Indianapolis could go a long way in determining that. And, Bo, since you're our residential NFL draft Bible ninja, you've been known to get around and interview hundreds, if not thousands, of NFL draft prospects. Who are some of the guys that, A, you are rooting for personally, and B, can earn themselves some cash?
I got two guys this week down here in Indianapolis. I think one of the most interesting stories coming out of the combine, maybe not one of the most interesting stories, but the Baylor offensive tackle, Danny Watkins. I think he's a unique story for the listeners out there who aren't familiar. He's Canadian-born. He comes from Canada. He doesn't play football. I believe he plays hockey, and I think cricket or something, lacrosse. No football at all. He ends up being a fireman. The guy, you know, goes to high school, leaves high school, is a fireman for like 2 or 3 years. And while he's a firefighter, I mean, he's actually fighting fires. His first fire call was a burning car where they actually pulled out a dead body. I mean, that was his first call out. So this guy was in the, you know, the midst of it. It wasn't like a little hobby that, you know, he could say he did. He ends up going to California. His fire chief tells this kid, hey, we want you to go down to California to the Fire Science Center and do some fire stuff. He goes down there, one thing leads to another, and, you know, a community college sees him playing, and they tell him, hey, you know, we'll hook you up with a scholarship. You come down here and play. He starts playing, and then the next thing you know, he's getting offers from Baylor, Hawaii, San Diego. And now he finds himself at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine, never playing a down of football in his high school life. So I think that's one guy, Danny Watkins. And, you know, one is, I mean, he's about 27, so he's not the youngest guy on the board, but still, you know, he could give a team some quality play for another, you know, 5, 7, 8 years. So I think he's a guy. And the one guy, I mean, he came to us as the Fort Valley State receiver, Ricardo Lockett, the wide receiver. He's 6'2", 3'4", close to 212. And, you know, we talked to him yesterday before he flew out. You can go to the NFL Draft Bible. You can read the latest on him. But, I mean, he said if he runs a 4.3, it's going to be a bad day for him. I also talked with Fisher Sports, the guys that have trained him, and they say it's a legit comment. I mean, this kid's track fast. He was the 200-meter 2009 champion in D2. Then, you know, don't confuse the track background. He's a football player first, so he's not some little scat back that's quick because he weighs 160 pounds. He's a big man, and the biggest thing for him is, you know, that route running and the football skills. But that'll come. But if there's one guy, I think it's Lockett. I mean, I talked with Bucky Brooks on the NFL Network this morning, and we were talking about guys, and I, you know, he said his, and I told him Ricardo, and he's like, why? And I said, this is a guy you got to watch out for. So those are the two guys. Lockett, I think, got the great backstory, a fireman turned football player, and then I think Ricardo Lockett, Fort Valley State receiver, I think he's got a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah, Lockett has jet fuel rockets on his ankles. I mean, this kid, you know, he's going for the combine record, and, you know, that's all up to dispute in its own case because I see a lot of people crediting Chris Johnson with his 4.24 40 as the all-time record, and I guess there's some kind of stipulation that the NFL is ruling out Deion Sanders' 4.21 from 87. I don't know why, but to me, Deion will always hold the record. But, hey, C.J. Spiller ran a 4.28. Chris Johnson ran a 4.24. Primetime Neon Deion ran a 4.21. Bo, if I had to ask you a projection, you know, just based on your conversations, where are you going to put Ricardo Lockett?
On a 40 time tomorrow? When he goes to burn? You know what? I'm going to say he goes 4.32, 4.33. I think that's going to be a lot of pressure for the young man. You know, this is the NFL Combine. It's not like he's coming from a big-time school where, you know, you got a lot of media spotlight. So if he can calm the nerves and focus, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. The kid can do it. I mean, he can run a 4.25 on pace. But I think, you know, maybe those jitters and getting those jitters out of the way, I think is going to be the biggest step for Ricardo Lockett. But none of that. He's going to blow this combine up and open a lot of eyes.
Bo Marchant, Joe Everett in Indianapolis on location. I'm your host, Rick Saratella. I'll be joining them shortly. We'll also have the good reference in Indianapolis NFL Draft Bible representing it heavy this year. So if you're listening to the show, you want to get a hold of us, drop us a line at media@NFLDraftBible.com. That's media@NFLDraftBible.com. These two guys, Bo and Joe, have interviewed hundreds of players already, prospects this year's draft class. We're talking to them live now on location. And a big topic this week, especially after the horrendous showing of all the quarterbacks in all the All-Star games. None of them looked good. None of them shined. That's going to be a heated topic of conversation in Indianapolis. And I think for the most part, everybody has Blaine Gabbert and Cam Newton, one or two, flip a coin however you want it. But I think after that, there's three guys really battling for some first-round love, and that would be Jake Locker, Ryan Mallett, and Christian Ponder. We've got a few minutes before this show wraps up. I want to pick your guys' brain as far as where you guys stand. Cam Newton is going to do all the workouts and skills at the combine. Blaine Gabbert just participating in the passing drills, which I think could come back to haunt him. I'm going to open it up to Joe first. Aside from Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert, Joe, I'd like to hear from you. Who's the leading contender to be selected next after that?
In my opinion, I mean, it's got to be Mallett. I like the kid's arm. I like the kid's prototype size. And he can just make throws that the rest of them simply cannot make. I realize he has the character concerns and the rumors that abound, but all we know is by what we've seen on the tape. And at Arkansas, I mean, he displays the accuracy, the touch, the spin on the football to make every necessary throw that he's going to have to make pro level. So just based on skill and talent, I like what Mallett has on the field.
Okay, so you got Mallett number three, and then who do you like between Locker or Ponder, real quick?
I'm going with Locker. I think that a lot of things and issues that scouts are pointing out right now are fixable things, especially the footwork. You can work with a quarterback on footwork and timing and things, but what you can't work on is the time speed that Locker possesses. I think he's going to torch it at the combine here in the 40-yard dash, as well as show a nice release. He has a very strong arm and a very capable passer, and what he does so well that a lot of the other QBs don't do is create his own pocket. He can escape, and I think that those kind of skill sets that he brings to the table, he's definitely a valuable quarterback and a guy that still should be considered in the first round.
Yeah, you know, he flashes those throws that make you say, wow, and then, you know, he'll come back on the very next play and make a throw that makes you just scratch your head. Bo, before I get your little quarterback rankings, real quick on Jake Locker, I mean, how concerned are you about the low completion percentage, and where do you have him slotted in your quarterback prospects?
You know what, when I look at it right now, Rick, I'm kind of like a Locker between 2 and 3. My quarterbacks are crazy, and I move them around all the time. I like Locker. I like what he did last season, and I know he came back and the success wasn't the same, but I don't think the team was the same. And, you know, the accuracy, remember when Matt Ryan was at Boston College, he wasn't the most accurate passer either. I mean, he wasn't a guy that threw for 34 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He had plenty of turnovers while he was at BC. So I think a guy like Locker reminds me of Ryan that, you know, he wasn't the most accurate guy in college, but he has the intangibles to play quarterback. And I think that's what the next level. All these guys are physically gifted. That doesn't mean to translate to the intangibles to be a successful NFL quarterback. But I like what Locker brings. I'm still, I don't know how you go from the number one guy in the nation into like a sixth-ranked quarterback. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. I just think he's not the flavor of the month. And the flavor of the month, Rick, is obviously becoming Cam Newton. The momentum's starting down here. Everyone you start talking to down here in Indianapolis is starting to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, first he was a top 10 guy. He was a top 10 guy only a few weeks ago. He has a workout. Now he's a top 5 guy. We're here at the combine, and he's going to do all the drills. Now people are saying he's the number one pick of the draft. I think he has the biggest boomer bust label of any guy out there. That all said and done, the guy that I like most, the guy that I'm going to put number one on my board would be Ryan Mallett. I think this is the NFL prototypical quarterback. I talked with several receivers, and I can't name their name, but they played with all-star college quarterbacks during their college careers, and they said that Ryan Mallett threw the best ball that they have seen. So they've caught balls by other top college quarterbacks, but they caught balls by Mallett, and they said they've never had a guy, you know, the ball comes out of his hand like a firing rifle. So I like Mallett. I like Locker at 2, Newton at 3, and then Gabbard, but I keep flip-flopping them. So, like I said, you could call me tomorrow and I'll give you a different answer, but Mallett's been my guy all along, so I got to stick to it.
I hear you, man. These quarterbacks, you know, it's kind of like, when there's no pretty girls in the bunch, you kind of just stare until one kind of looks good. And, you know, I think that's kind of where we are at in the evaluation process.
Rick, well, you know, like, I mean, when you think about sexy picks, I mean, Michael Vick is a sexy pick. You know, when you think of, Kerry Collins, that's not a sexy pick. I mean, so, you know, talking about women, I mean, Michael Vick is the girl. Cam Newton is the girl that walks in the bar that turns everybody's head. Blaine Gabbert is the girl that walks in the bar, and you just kind of keep staring at your beer and you don't pay any attention to it. That's the Cam Newton factor. That's what Cam brings.
Speaking of the bar, you're cut off, my man, because we're about 10 seconds away from wrapping up this edition of the NFL Draft Bible Draft Digest Weekly. Be sure to check out our archive that you missed earlier in the show. I want to thank everybody from Doug Moore to Joe Everett to Beau Marchant. I'm your host, Rick Saratella. I'll be joining you guys in Indy soon. We're out of here.
Peace.